जय ओं विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतो श्री श्रीमद अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की जय। श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय। श्री मथुरा धाम की जय। श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय। श्री मायापुर नवद्वीप धाम की जय। गंगा माई की जय। जमुना माई की जय। भक्ति देवी की जय। तुलसी महारानी की जय। हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय। समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांगो। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्रील प्रभुपाद। नमो ओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नीति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चात्तादिशतारिणे। श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। हरे कृष्णा। Today and tomorrow, for 2 days, we are going to have the convention of cow protection organized by ISKCON's Ministry of Cow Protection and Agriculture. So we'll have the program for today and tomorrow. The program is actually starting from this Bhagavatam class. And after that, after the class, there'll be breakfast. And after breakfast, at 10 o'clock, we'll start the convention. And 10 to 1, and then from 1 to 3 will be lunch break. And then 3 to 6 will be the second session. So we have about 20 devotees here who are gracing this occasion. And so our objective is to create an awareness of the importance of cow protection and motivate everyone to become involved in this most important spiritual activity. Our whole culture is based on cow protection. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the protector of cows. And those who are followers of Krishna, they naturally develop an attachment to the cows. And especially when you become exposed to the cows and the benefit from cows, then we can see. We develop a natural appreciation and loving relationship towards the cows, but we begin to also recognize the benefit that automatically comes from cow protection. So anyway, our program will start, or rather our program is starting from the class. So for this occasion, I have selected a special verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, Chapter 5, that's the regular verse here. This is the 79. Yeah, first canto, chapter 17, text 9. This chapter is entitled as The Punishment and Reward of Kali. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्तं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। श्रीमद् भागवतम फर्स्ट कैंटो चैप्टर 17 टेक्स्ट 9। मा सौरभे यात्रा सूच व्यतु ते वृषलाद भयम् मारोदैर अम्ब भद्रम् ते खलानाम् मयि शास्त्री। मा सौरभे आत्र सूचो व्यतु ते वृषलाद भयम् मारोदैरम्ब भद्रम् ते खलानाम् मयि शास्तरी। मा सौरभ्यात्र सूचो व्यतु ते वृषलाद भयम् मा रोदितरम्ब भद्रं ते खलानां मयि शस्तरी। मा सौरभे आत्र सूच व्यतु ते वृषलाद भयम् मा रोदैरम्ब भद्रं ते खलानां मयि शास्तरी। सौरभेय ओ सन ऑफ सुरभि अत्र इन माय किंगडम सूचः लैमेंटेशन व्यतु लेट देयर बी ते your brishalad by the sudra bhayam cause of fear ma do not rodihi cry amba mother cow bhadram all good te unto you khalanam of the envious mai while I am living, Shastari, the ruler of subduer. O son of Surabhi, you need lament no longer now. There is no need to fear this low-class Sudra. And O mother cow, as long as I am living as the ruler and subduer of all envious men, there is no cause for you to cry. Everything will be good for you. Sorry. Please repeat after me. O son of Surabhi, you need lament no longer now. There is no need to fear this low-class Sudra. And O Mother Cow, as long as I am living, as the ruler and subduer of all envious men, there is no cause for you to cry. Everything will be good for you. Purport by Srila Prabhupada, protection of bulls and cows and all other animals can be possible only when there is a state ruled by an executive head like Maharaj Parikshit. Maharaj Parikshit addresses the cow as mother, for he is a cultured, twice-born Kshatriya king. Surabhi is the name of the cows which exist in the spiritual planets and are specially reared by Lord Krishna himself. As men are made after the form and features of the Supreme Lord, so also the cows are made after the form and features of the Surabhi cows in the spiritual kingdom. In the material world, the human society gives all protection to the human being, but there is no law to protect the descendants of Surabhi, who can give all protection to men by supplying the miracle food, milk. But Maharaj Parikshit and Pandavas were fully conscious of the importance of cow and bull, and they were prepared to punish the cow killer with all chastisement, including death. There has sometimes been agitation for the protection of the cow, but for want of pious executive heads and suitable laws, the cow and the bull are not given protection. The human society should recognize the importance of the cow and the bull and thus give all protection to these important animals, following the footsteps of Maharaj Parikshit. For protecting the cows and Brahminical culture, the Lord, who is very kind to the cows and Brahmanas, Go Brahmana Hitaya, will be pleased with us and will bestow upon us real peace. Ma Saurabhe Atra Sucha Byatute Brishalad Bhayad Ma Rodita Amba Bhadrangte Khalanam Mai Shastari. So Parikshit Maharaj here is giving the assurance to the cows and the bulls. Because in the age of Kali, even at the beginning of the age of Kali, we can see the Kali's main agenda is to kill the cows and kill the bulls. And we are seeing that as the Kali Yuga is progressing, that culture is becoming more and more prevalent. More and more cow killing is taking place. And as a result of that, the whole world is filled with all kinds of calamities. Now, how to counter that? The solution is here. But the thing is that in the early days when there was monarchy, then the king used to decide and the king used to implement. But in the age of democracy, that is practically impossible to implement certain standard of law. This democracy also is actually Kali's doing. Democracy, Prabhupada used to term it as demon crazy. Like we can see that how impractical it is, how unfair this culture or this system is. Like mass is ignorant. Mass is ignorant. If we look at the Vedic culture, then we can see that out of 10 sudras, there is one Vaishya. out of 10 Vaishya, there is one Kshatriya. Out of 10 Kshatriya, there is one Brahmana. So we can see out of 1,000 Sudras and 100 Vaishyas and 10 Kshatriyas, there is one Brahmana. That means that one learned person, the one person who is aware of spiritual culture properly and able to educate and implement that culture is very rare, very few. And in the Vedic culture, these Brahmanas used to select the ruler. But now what is happening? The Sudras are electing the ruler. So mass is ignorant. So how can the ignorant mass wisely select a leader? By popular vote, people are becoming leaders. And as a result of that, what is happening? As a result of that, the world situation is becoming more and more critical. In order to get power, in early leaders, I must say, those who implemented or kind of introduced democracy, at least they were honest. They had patriotism. They were concerned about the welfare of people. But with the passing of time, what is happening? We are seeing the whole system is becoming more and more deceptive. More and more cheating is going on. People are actually winning the election with all kinds of cheating method. They're bluffing people, making all kinds of dubious arrangements to win the vote and come to power. So in this way we can see how Kali is very systematically spreading his influence. What happened at the early stage of Kali Yuga? The kings became tyrannical. Why the kings became tyrannical? Because they rejected the authority of the Brahmanas. Okay, we can go back actually. In the age of Kali, the Brahmanas became unqualified. Unqualified people took the position of the Brahmanas. Garuda Purana is clearly saying that. That Rakshasa Kalimashritya Jayante Brahmajonishu. Rakshasas, the demons, Kalimashritya, taking advantage of the age of Kali, they will take birth in the Brahminical families. The demons will take birth in the Brahminical families due to the age of Kali, due to the influence of Kali. And what will they do? They'll destroy the Vedic culture. They'll introduce all kinds of unpleasant and torturous and arrangements to destroy the Brahminical culture. In the name of the scripture, like we can see, at the beginning of Kali, what was happening? Nindasi jagga viderahaha shruti jatang. They're indiscriminately in the name of performing yajna, they were killing animals. And seeing that sadaya ridaya darshita pashughatam, seeing that this slaughtering of animals, the Lord's tender heart became afflicted. Sadaya ridaya darshita pashughatam, and Keshava dhrita buddha sharira. Keshava, Krishna came as Lord Buddha to stop this unnecessary animal sacrifice that was going on in the name of Vedas. Like, this is how the Brahmanas started to introduce all kinds of very, very unethical and inappropriate and degrading activities in the name of the Vedas. Like one such cruel culture was that in the name of the Vedas, what they were saying, that when the husband died, the wife must also go with the wife, the husband, in the same funeral pyre. Actually, in the Vedas, there is that custom. But the thing is, it was totally voluntary. the wife was so much in love with the husband that when the husband died, the wife felt that her existence is of no consequence, no use. So she thought, it's better that I go with my husband. And they used to follow the husband in this way. Like, for example, when Pandu died, then Kunti and Madri decided that one of us have to be alive, remain alive. Now, there was a consideration, who will go with the husband? Kunti gave the proposal that, look, I am older, therefore I should follow my husband. But Madri said that, look, you have 3 sons and I have 2. Therefore, you have to remain alive. I will go. So that was the culture. But what happened in the age of Kali, taking that instance from the Vedas, they actually, when the husband died, another thing that used to, anyway, I don't want to go into the details of that. Like, anyway, since I mentioned, since it came to my mind. The Brahmanas created a culture that, you see, in the Brahmana society also there are different classes, different categories of Brahmanas. And if the daughter is given married, if higher class Brahmana's daughter is given in marriage to a lower class Brahmana, then he would lose his Brahminical status. So they, in order to get, they are called Kulinna Pratha. Kulin means exalted or aristocratic, or you can exalted Brahmanas. So in order to get the daughter married, they would get the daughter married to an old Brahmana. And the this kind of Brahmanas, the Kulin Brahmanas, will have hundreds of wives. They will have different wives in different places, and all they would do is just visit one place to another in-law's house. So sometimes a young girl is given in marriage to an old Brahmana just to maintain this Kulin Pratha, this system, that exalted family must not get the daughter married to a lower class family. So when the old Brahmana, old husband died, the young wife is forced to go along with him. And naturally they don't want to die. So they would tie the girl by hands and feet and throw her into that funeral pyre. And to subdue her cry, they would play drum. And it was, whole system was so cruel. So when such a system is established, who will support that system? Therefore, the Kshatriyas lost their respect for the Brahmanas. We are not going to follow these guys. They're useless. They're nonsense. And then when the proper Brahmanas were not there to guide the Kshatriyas became tyrannical, despots. They just wanted to do whatever they wanted to do. So when the Kshatriyas became like devoid of the harness to be controlled, then the whole structure collapsed. And then what happened? When the Kshatriyas became tyrannical, then there was a need to change that system. And came the culture of, there was revolution, especially in the West. There was revolution. And after revolution, the democracy was established. Vox populi. The voice of the people. Like, and in India, what happened? In India, the whole thing took another shape. Because the proper Brahmanas were not there to guide the Kshatriyas not only became despots, but they actually started to fight among themselves. And the foreign invaders came, took advantage of the fight among these kings. They actually entered and took over this country. One of the first invaders was Muhammad Ghori. He attacked India from the northwest side. And I think he came from Iran. And he attacked 17 times. And the king, who was the ruler of that area, Prithviraj Chauhan, he defeated him 17 times and let him go. So Muhammad Ghori saw that he can't defeat this king. So what he did, he took advantage of a feud, conflict between Prithviraj Chauhan and Jai Chand. And incidentally, Jai Chand was his father-in-law. But because the way he married his daughter, the father became inimical to the son-in-law. So he took advantage of this conflict between these two kings, and Prithviraj Chauhan, Muhammad Ghori joined hands with Jai Chand. And jointly they attacked Prithviraj and defeated him. And that was the beginning of the invasion in India. Prabhupada said, since time immemorial, although many other kings tried to enter into India, they didn't succeed. Only about 1,000 years back, they could enter into India. Because the Kshatriya kings were so powerful that no foreign invaders could actually enter into this country. But when these foreign invaders came and took advantage, they could only enter into the country taking advantage of the conflict between the Indian rulers of that area only. So, and then what happened? Like, democracy actually developed in the West. Sort of it, and the seed was with the Civil War in England, and then it took its shape in France after French Revolution. And then revolution in Russia. And then gradually democracy started to spread. Then America took up the cause. And America made it their agenda to make the whole world democratic. And they were powerful. After Second World War, America became the greatest power and the most prominent influence in the world. And democracy was systematically established all over the world. In India, democracy came after the British left. Gandhi introduced democracy. They start with a good intention. But those leaders were honest. Their concern was genuine. Their intention was genuine. But then gradually we are seeing what's happening. In America, you can see the difference between Abraham Lincoln and Donald Trump. What a big difference. And in between, you can think of, Nixon, Johnson. So this is how, you can see how gradually the system is falling apart. At least in America, most of the people are educated. Their way of election is quite honest and fair. But you can see still then it is becoming such manipulation. Anyway, let's not get into that. Our main point here is actually, as Kali's influence is spreading, democracy is spreading. Why? Because Kali saw that if the ruler is against him, then the ruler can actually destroy him or destroy his influence. Like, for example, if the government becomes Krishna conscious, then just overnight government can make the rule. No meat eating, no intoxication, no illicits and gamble, no gambling. Nobody will ever dare to do that. If they do that, they'll be punished. Another wonderful example in that respect, the power of the ruler. When Singapore separated, Singapore, Malaysia, they all were together, Singapore decided to split from that group, and Lee Kuan Yew was the president. And Singapore was actually at that time the den of gangsters, drug pushers, and all kinds of such immoral and illicit activities. So he established the law. First thing he came, gave them certain amount of time. Whoever has arms must surrender. Arms and ammunition must be surrendered. Give the time. And if they did not, the sentence was death sentence. If anybody is caught with arms, he got capital punishment. And if anyone was caught with ammunition, he got life imprisonment. And then what he did, he just got the army to kind of bust all these gangsters. And the punishment was severe. No mercy. This is the law. If you're caught with arms and ammunition, if you're caught with drugs, that's it. Even now, when you go to Singapore, what happens? In the plane, they announce, if you have any drugs, please get rid of it. Because there'll be death sentence. Few years back, I remember two Australian girls were caught with drugs. They got death sentence. There was a huge human cry all over the world. But the government did not budge. Gave them the death sentence. Now what happens when the punishment is so severe? No one dares to do that. And Singapore is the country where the law and order is in perfect shape. I mean, I just heard how he did that. Like, you know, like they would have, when Lee Kuan Yew came into power, took over, people used to throw garbage on the streets. And he made a law that if anybody throws it, punishment of something like $500. They used to walk on the street. Although there are pavements, pedestrian pavements, but people used to walk on streets. They had some sort of a vehicle, hand-driven, I mean, like rickshaw kind of a thing, with spikes sticking out. So if anybody is walking on the street, they would just, that vehicle would go and scratch them, I mean, not, you know, touch them on the side. And this is how they learned not to walk on this, on the road, but walk on the thing. Actually, you see the benefit of a powerful ruler. He established the law and order. You know, of course, he didn't go totally Vedic, but at least he introduced two things. No intoxication and no prostitution. These are two things he stopped. Gambling also he stopped here. Gambling. People from Singapore, the Chinese people are very fond of gambling. They would go to some islands, which is, they actually set up big gambling joints like Las Vegas, and they would go there to gamble. Singapore, they couldn't gamble. So this is the point, like if we have a proper powerful king, if we have a Krishna conscious king, that's what Prabhupada is telling here. All these things will stop immediately. We can see that one state in India, Uttar Pradesh, one promoter of Vedic culture became the chief minister. And he stopped cow killing in that state. No more cow killing. But at the same time, you can see the demoniac influence also. And one such demoniac place is actually Bengal, the place which is ruled by the demoniac personalities. The chief minister of Bengal, she's promoting cow killing. Something like there were one or two slaughterhouses in Calcutta. Now she introduced, she gave the support to have 17 such slaughterhouses. And they are all kind of modernized. So we can see how Kali's influence is spreading. And these persons are the leaders. And the people worship them, elect them, and bring them to power just to promote Kali's agenda. In a way, I think, we have to think in a long-term way. Like, we have to think in terms of establishing Krishna conscious states, Krishna conscious government. Even those days, Prabhupada wanted to do that. Like Balavanta Prabhu, Prabhupada inspired him to stand for the election. And Prabhupada's point was, maybe you'll lose in the first election, doesn't matter, but carry on. It won't happen overnight, but we have to make it happen. And we must remember that we have the support of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We shouldn't be afraid, we shouldn't be worried. With full conviction, we must go on promoting his agenda. We are not promoting our agenda, we are promoting Mahaprabhu's agenda. So this is how we have to actually establish the Vedic culture. And one of the most important aspect of the Vedic culture is cow protection. Prabhupada was not actively involved in that at the time because Prabhupada's mission was to establish Krishna consciousness in the West. And he couldn't afford to get diverted. But time and time again, Prabhupada reminded. And that's why Prabhupada was more concerned about establishing temples and writing books, translating Vedic scriptures. These are the foundations. Temples are the units where people can practice Krishna consciousness, and the books are the basis through which people understand what Krishna consciousness is. So this is how Prabhupada has set up the scene, perfect arrangement for us. Now we have to go step by step to achieve the ultimate goal. And our ultimate goal should be, as I said, Krishna conscious government. That'll take a long time. Maybe that'll take a long time. But who knows? Like, Krishna can do anything. And at the same time, we have to all systematically work towards establishing cow culture, establishing organic farming, establishing dependence upon the Mother Nature, and not to torment Mother Nature, but to support and remain thankful to Mother Nature for all the gifts she's giving us. Not to exploit, but to appreciate Mother Nature. So that's why in ISKCON, these two ministries are under one banner. Ministry of Cow Protection and Agriculture. Because Prabhupada saw that they are interrelated. Like, about 10 years back, I had a talk with our God brother. Tapu Punja Prabhu in New Vrindavan. And he is doing, he's promoting this organic farming and educating youngsters with that. And even at that time, he was so much concerned about promoting that and systematically promote that. And today, yesterday also, I had a discussion with him, and Tapupunja Prabhu was telling me that how cow protection and agriculture must go on hand in hand. It cannot be one without the other. They are actually interrelated. In order to properly give protection to cows, we have to have the support of the agriculture. And in order to have proper agriculture, we have to have cows. So anyway, we may not be able to change, bring about the change overnight, but at least we can try to take one baby step forward. And that's what we are trying to do. Kalakanta Prabhu became the Minister of Cow Protection since 2015. And he is very enthusiastically working towards that. And we feel that this ministry needs a lot of help, not of support. So that's why we are having this convention, to create the awareness, becoming aware of the importance, and then systematically work collectively. Like those days, the king could do things, but in Kali Yuga, one man cannot do much. Therefore, we need collective endeavor. Collective endeavor. So I wish that this is the kind of beginning of this very noble endeavor of the Ministry of Cow Protection. And so today and tomorrow we will have sessions discussing about this project, and I'm sure this endeavor is going to be very, very effective. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. Does anybody have any question or comment? Tapupunja Prabhu, I'm sorry to have, you know, like what happens, you know, the name just skips your thing and just can't get it, you know, like, I mean, how could I forget your name?
you were discussing the dangers of democracy.
Yeah. Good.
Well, but that depends upon interacting with and educating people.
Right. Good. Yeah.
So it's in one way there's a safeguard.
Very good.
Just like in America, there's this whole idea of separation, church and state. And we know from the Vedic standard that that's not correct.
Correct, yeah.
It should be a theocracy.
Right. Why didn't you film him?
If you actually allow
when somebody's speaking, you just... Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. Good.
If you allow the current demographics of evangelical Christians to rule,
yeah,
you won't have this property anymore.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So there's a benefit, actually.
Right. Very good point. You know, I was just, you know, as you... presenting it, I was thinking the two-edged sword is, one edge is democracy and the other edge is Sankirtan. Right? Collective, congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord. That's also collective. Right? Not just, you know, like on one hand there's a collective endeavor to establish Kali's agenda, and the other side is the systematic collective endeavor to establish Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's agenda. Yes, it's... I mean, the thing is that we have to take advantage of the situation that is there. Like, democracy has come in and Mahaprabhu, therefore, foreseeing what would happen, Mahaprabhu presented this system, which is unique for the age of Kali.
It's like when Mahaprabhu organized over 100
Yeah.
That was, in one sense, it was
right. Democratic. True, yeah. 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 I was thinking we should get a cordless microphone. Get a cordless microphone. Thank you so much, Pratap Punja Prabhu. Very nice point, yeah. Yes, Yamuna Jivani. Okay, take the mic and give it to her.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I was considering what you were saying about the role of the government in establishing moral principles within the society, but at the same time I was considering in, you know, we see in Srimad Bhagavatam that even in previous ages there were illicit activities that were going on and they were permitted by the government. So I was just considering that if it's actually the role of the government to, or a ruler to limit the activities of the individuals in terms of, you know, drinking and meat eating, illicit sex, and that sort of thing. So, if you could just speak a little bit more on that.
Yeah, very good point. But the thing is that those activities were not illicit. They were legalized, not unlawful. And the government would systematically give some individual some, you know, way to give vent to their, you know, unethical propensities. Like, say, for example, even among human beings, you get animals. Animalistic tendency. So to give and to curb those animalistic tendencies, those arrangements were there. But, you know, there was it was done in a very controlled way. Not that indiscriminately they could have meat. Only in certain occasion, in a certain way. For example, those who are fond of or kind of craving to eat meat. Okay, you can have meat of certain animals, like mainly goats. Not other animals, right? Never cows. And the goat has to be slaughtered by being offered to Goddess Kali, who is the mother nature. You are killing a child of the mother, so you have to have the permission. And the permission is you have to make a condition, like you chant a mantra before killing. And the mantra says, whatever you are doing now, whatever I am doing to you now, you will do that to me. So mam, sa mam means to me, sa means he. The Sanskrit word for meat is mamsa. He will do whatever I'm doing now. Interesting consideration. Meat, the word meat, me eat. Right? So this is the condition. That is how, and then person who is a meat eater, he would come to his senses at one point. Oh my God, what am I doing? Just for the sake of satisfying my tongue, I am binding myself into this condition life after life. Right? Similarly, alcohol could have been drunk at certain occasion only. At the time, after the sacrifice was made. And like that, you know, there were systematic arrangements so that, you know, people won't spoil dignified ladies. There was arrangement for like that, you know. So, you see, that is the difference. But, you know, what is happening now is indiscriminately people are indulging in those activities. And those activities have become the only purpose of their existence. Right? Their whole existence is revolving around these four activities. Meat-eating, intoxication, illicit sex, and gambling. Whereas that those ages, you know, in the early time, in the Vedic system, it was done in a way to keep the society clean of the giving them certain license to curb their undesirable propensities. Thank you. Okay, so I won't take too long. You all have to take breakfast, and then 10 o'clock the session will start. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari. Srila Prabhupada. Gaur.